And now the game where we invite notable people on to answer questions about things they failed to note. It's a game called Not My Job. You know what's wrong with the world? Nobody knows how to behave anymore. That's what. This despite the lifelong labors of Letitia Baldrige, who first became known as Jackie Onassis's chief of staff and went on to become a world-famous expert, not on living well so much, but on living correctly. Letitia Baldrige, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Goodness, what a polite audience. They're applauding.
Well, they know for whom they want to behave correctly. Is that a good summation of your career? Because you're known as such an expert on etiquette, on style. Your latest book is on taste. You've written many on behavior, manners, society. Would you think that's a good summation?
Well, I think it's a very flattering, nice one, yes. I like it. I also was one of the first women business owners in America. I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And so I've just had a lot of experience, and that's why I love to sit up and pass judgment.
It's great fun. That's what we do every week. You were a senior person at Tiffany's back before you went to work in the White House.
Yes, that's right. I was their first woman executive, and I had a great time living with all those wonderful rocks. My gosh,
please tell me you once had breakfast there.
I was there when the movie was made, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Aww. I watched it being made, and I had great chats with Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard and the whole group. It was fabulous.
No Mickey Rooney? You didn't chat at all with Mickey Rooney?
He didn't come into the story. He wasn't necessary for the plot the story.
And then, of course, you after you left the White House, you became sort of a professional consultant in terms of...
Well, I was never paid for it, but people kept calling me up and asking my advice. So I just became a sort of pro bono consultant to the White House.
Yeah, you actually worked, we were told, with four first ladies.
Yes, I did, and all of them simply fabulous, and of course really loved the one who just left us, Lady Bird Johnson.
Yes, of course, you must have known her very well.
Knew her very well and loved her very much. Why, what a great bunch of women we've had in that role.
Yeah. So we wanted to ask you about that in particular, because of course of your association with the great first ladies of our recent history. As you may know, it's possible, depending on the breaks, that we might end up with, as he wants to be called, he announced, a first laddie, Bill Clinton. That's what he said, that if his wife becomes elected president, he wants to be known as the first laddie, he said. Only half joking, we think. We were wondering, I don't know if you've given this any thought, but would you have any advice for what he should do and how he should do it once he's, back
well,
in the White House?
First of all, I don't think he'd take my advice.
No.
I'm sure he wouldn't. And secondly, he would want to do it his own way because he always has done everything his own way. And we will all just sit there, and I'll sit there passing judgment as usual.
All right.
I don't get paid for it, but I'll be doing it.
Let's pass some judgments. Let's get down to it. What, Letitia Baldrige, is wrong with society today?
Oh, have you got 10 hours?
Oh, we have all day. Go.
Oh, I thought that was the first question in the quiz.
No. Give me your top...
Judges who sue about their pants.
No, give me your top 10, whatever, or your bottom 10, whatever you want to call it.
Well, first of all, children are not disciplined. They're not... they can go out in public and run around and scream and yell. People aren't kind. They don't stop and think that they're hurting feelings. They just barge ahead and say what they want.
Pass judgment, as it were.
Yes.
And that's your job, damn it.
Yes, and I want to get paid for it.
Exactly. One of the things that was interesting, I guess, a difference between your time in Washington, at least when you were first there, and now, is, of course, the number of scandals and revelations about the private lives of politicians.
Oh, we had some, too, but we kept them quiet.
You see, that's what I mean.
Nobody in Washington today can keep anything quiet from the press. The press gets into everything.
So let's say, a random example, off the top of my head, your name shows up on a list released by a D.C. madam.
Oh, wow.
Not your name,
not
per
your
se.
Name specifically.
No.
Hypothetical you.
My husband's name?
That would be a way better
story.
All right,
she just volunteered her husband's name.
I would
take care of that immediately.
Oh, how would you take care of that?
He would be in the hospital the next day.
Really?
Wait a minute. Yeah, but I'm Ms. Baldridge, I'm thinking a derringer in a beaded purse.
That's tasteful.
Well, that's the smart way to do it.
More classic.
What? I'd have to go to a shooting gallery and learn how to shoot first, though.
Hey, I want to ask you one last question before we go in, and it's somewhat serious, which is that there are a lot of women out there, maybe as much as a dozen right now, any of whom, given the breaks, could become the first lady. What is your advice as a former advisor to first ladies? What is the first lady's primary duty? What should they occupy their time with?
Well, they've got to occupy their time with keeping their husbands alive and healthy and taking the strain off of him when he comes back to the White House, because I'll tell you, it's a tough job. And the first lady has to calm him down and soothe him and help him talk out his problems. But secondly, she's got to stand as the top woman in the United States and be a role model for mothers and working women. She's got to do everything. She can't just be a wonderful wife or a wonderful career woman. She's got to be everything to everybody now. We're very demanding. So it's a tough job, and I think the first lady should be given a salary, a big salary.
There you go.
If a first lady and a president are they're married, but he's president, does he still have to agree with her? Just for the record, what's the record?
You know, it will be very interesting if we have a female president. It will be very interesting because the husband, particularly if the husband was a former president, it's going to be very hard to keep him down on the farm. Very hard to keep him from horning in on her business.
As it were.
As it were.
Very tough.
Yes. And on that note, just
back. See, now that is an elegant way to take a shot, right?
That's
there.
Great. The classic stiletto. Well, Letitia Baldridge, we are delighted to have you with us. Now, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
You Are a Philly Fanatic, Forever Flirting with Futility.
A huge milestone in baseball history is about to happen. It might be happening as we speak in some stadium before some lucky fans. We refer, of course, to the Philadelphia Phillies losing their 10,000th regular season game, making them, yes, the losingest franchise in all of sports. In honor of this event, we are going to ask you three questions about the Phillies, taken from an oral history of the franchise, published in Sports Illustrated. Answer two right, you will win our prize for one of our listeners. Lose, and it'll be kind of an homage to the Phillies, won't it? Carl, who is Letitia Baldridge playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Renee Osborne of Williamston, Michigan.
All right, first question. Ready to go? Here we go.
I am.
Just after handing the Phillies loss number 5,518, first baseman Whitey Lockman of the New York Giants had this to say about Philadelphia's fans. Was it A, quote, I heard things about my mother that made me dizzy, and she ain't never been to Philadelphia. B, quote, that stadium is like a big stew pot of hate, misery, sewage, and vinegar, unquote. Or C, I wouldn't mind getting hit by a regular bottle, but when they break the tops off before throwing them, that's just too much.
Well, I'm going to go with B, the stadium, the smelly, wretched stadium.
Big stew pot of hate, misery, sewage, and vinegar.
Yes, because you could survive that. Whereas you couldn't survive a broken bottle top hitting you in the head.
Well, actually, somehow he did, because that's what he said. He also said, quote, the Philadelphia fans are the worst in the world. They don't deserve a major league franchise. And, of course, some would argue they don't have one. But let's leave that up to others. All right, you still have two chances here. Next question. The fans also got to manager Terry Francona as the team approached the 9,500 loss mark in 2000. What happened? A, on Fan Appreciation Day, someone slashed his tires. B, the fans in the bleachers put up a Francona Death Watch sign in the outfield and updated it with a new skull every game. Or C, in tribute to the bald skipper, fans would shave their heads and then write, you suck, on top of their scalps.
I don't think that the Philadelphians deserve a baseball team.
Yeah, I know.
Like that.
Well, they only did one of those things, I should say.
Okay.
So which one did they do?
Let's go with writing you suck.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Letitia Baldridge said you suck. I feel so bad.
Letitia Baldridge.
I know. It's terrible.
I want that on my answering machine.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, those are just two words in the English language.
I know. So your choice was that they wrote the words, you suck, on top of their heads.
And I was wrong.
You were. They slashed his tires on Fan Appreciation Day.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. All right, we have one more question for you. In 1961, after loss 6,333, which came on the road, hundreds of fans were waiting for the team when they arrived back home at the Philadelphia airport. Pitcher Frank Sullivan looked out the window at the gathered crowd, and he exclaimed, what? A, quote, at least they're not carrying pitchforks. Oh, wait, there's one. B, they're selling rocks at $1 a pail. Or C, hell, we're not wearing our uniforms. Anybody asks us if we're the Phillies, deny it.
I'll go with the rocks.
You're going to go with the rocks?
I go with the rocks.
You're right. Very well done.
Oh, I made one. Oh, good.
Sullivan shouted this advice to his colleagues, quote, go out of the plane in twos and threes. That way they can't get us all at once. They're selling rocks at $1 a pail. Carl,
I would not take up baseball as a sport.
No,
you're hearing that.
Carl, how did Letitia Baldridge do on our quiz?
Peter, she had one correct answer, but she needed two to win for Renee Osborne.
Oh.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh. It really does.
And thus a lesson in how to lose gracefully from Letitia Baldridge.
Or read my book on taste.
There you are. Letitia Baldridge was chief of staff to Jacqueline Kennedy at the White House. She's advised four other first ladies. She has written numerous books in her illustrious career. Her most recent book, in bookstores now, is Taste. Letitia Baldridge, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you so much, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.